Bedner City Planning Board Meeting, August 23rd, 2021.
Play on? Okay. The August 23rd, 2021 meeting of the Bedner City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Note that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Langgraf?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Vernon Davidoff?
Here.
Lorraine Colada?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Kriebel, Tom Townsend, and Peter Tucker.
Okay, the next item for us is the adoption of the August 11th minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to said minutes? If not, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of the August 11th minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Okay, you have one abstention for Roman. And also for Lance.
And for me.
And Tim Coop.
Hold a minute then. You made the motion.
I seconded.
If you're not voting on it, right?
Yeah, they have to replay it.
Someone else.
Okay. Can someone else be the second?
Second.
Sorry.
Dan Smith is the second.
I got to take my.
All right. All those again in favor?
Aye.
We did aye, so that was the case. We already did that. The minutes are hereby approved. There are two resolutions for approval. Those are P48 of 2021 and P49 of 2021. Are there any corrections or amendments to those resolutions? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for approval of said resolutions?
Make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Be the same.
Same abstentions. The ayes have it. The resolutions are hereby adapted. There is one application this evening. That is of Timothy Bradley at 5904 Boardwalk, Block 18, Lot 1.01. And John Obeletis is representing. At this time, Roger, are you going to be doing a preamble first?
Very brief one.
Okay, well, let's have Roger sworn in, and then John will have you sworn in.
Mr. McCarron, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give you the truth?
Do.
And John, could you state your name and address for the record?
John Obelinus, 102 South, 83 Diamonds.
Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give you the truth?
I will.
Thank you.
Mr. Obelinus, you're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Let the record reflect that your credentials are acceptable before the board. You have appeared here before.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Roger is going to do a brief perform on the application, and then you'll take it and continue all the way through.
Thank you, Board Chairman, Board members. I'll keep it very, very brief. The report is based on the application of Timothy Bradley, Block 18, Lot 1.01. Otherwise known as 5904 Boardwalk, within the R1 Single Family Zoning District. They are here tonight to requesting variance for a third floor deck, where a third floor deck does not meet the definition in our ordinance. It must be within the building envelope, and this deck extends beyond the building envelope, therefore that's why they're here for the variance. Everything else is fully compliant, including the setback other than the front wall of the building is not in line with the deck. So that concludes my report. John?
Okay.
Thank you. I hear that I'm the only application tonight, so can I take the full 2 hours?
John, you're limited to an hour and 45 minutes.
John, can you just move closer to the microphone?
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, you can move the mic closer to you if you like, or you can...
Can I just pick it up? Okay, so I represent Timothy and Anna Bradley. They live in Colorado, and I believe against my wishes, they emailed, I think, the board, or he emailed the board, saying that I'm going to be representing them. And also he carried it further, saying that he was hoping that you'd get something accomplished tonight. And I think he went too far, and I think Roger scolded him and I scolded him. But here I am today, and I've got to go through what he wants to do. The project right now, 5904 Boardwalk, is actually under construction. I think they're past the foundation. We have full permits. We have CAFRA permits. We have local zoning approvals, and the house is being constructed. But it's being constructed with the current drawings with that third floor deck within the building line, so we can get our permits processed and started. And with this set of plans here, we're hoping to get that third floor deck beyond that building line. That's why we're here tonight. So I thought I'd just quickly guide you through the building, if that's okay with you. It's ground floor is parking and storage. It's basically an upside down house where bedrooms and the entry foyer are on the first floor. Second floor is living areas, kitchen, dining, powder room. Third floor is the master bedroom suite, and that's the only occupation is the Timothy and his wife, Anna. They take over the third floor. And that deck, of course, is private to the master bedroom. It's not open to anybody, open to the public. Hopefully, they're going to be the only ones that are going to occupy that third floor. With all the approvals in hand, one thing interesting about this project, and we have to brag about it a little bit, is that my client, you've heard of Tesla electric cars. Well, Tesla makes an electric solar roof. The actual tiles themselves have the solar panels baked into the tiles. So you don't see like a regular roof and then these ugly big panels that are nailed onto the top of the roof. This solar system is part of the actual roof itself. It looks like a slate tile, and in the tile itself is a mini solar panels, and everything plugs into what they call a power bank in the garage, where it collects all the electrical, stores it, and it eliminates the load of a generator. So we can run the house for several days, I think, without power, if the power goes out. So he has that being constructed. I'm working with a Tesla engineer to make the system work, which is, for me, I like Tesla, I like Elon Musk, and it's exciting to know that we're going to have one of the very new homes with that really, really nice system. And I think part of that, and my client doesn't want to hear this, but I think that when he walks out, hopefully when he walks out on his third floor deck, you know, he's going to look straight ahead to the ocean, he's going to look left to Atlantic City, he's going to look right to Longport, and I think he's going to look down at his expensive Tesla roof and see what, you know, all that money is going toward and stuff. So basically, the third floor, if you look at the elevations, on the front elevation, you can see on the top where it juts out the 5 feet. And I looked at it again, I realized that, and Roger maybe helped me with this, the floor below, what we did was we pulled in that living, the second floor in, to create a larger second floor deck, again, because that's their living, dining, kitchen area. So by pulling it back, we left the bedroom area forward, which also meets the setbacks, but technically, I don't know if it's technically, I see it as not a 5 foot variance, but really a 3 foot variance, because it really goes out 3 feet beyond, yeah.
It's five.
It's five? Okay. I just thought, you know, I wasn't sure at what line. Is it the building front below, or is it what's directly below the deck itself? It's directly below. Okay. So it's 5 feet, and that's the record. So the idea was that it's a cantilever deck. Visually, it's in front of the building. It faces the beach. From the side, what I think is a very minimal presence. There's no roof line. There's no coverage, you know, below. All the decks are exposed pretty much for the full view. If you're looking at it from the side, I think it's a minimal thing. From the rear, it doesn't block anybody's views. The whole building is behind that third floor deck. So you're not blocking views. It conforms to just pretty much what you see from the beach side. And we try to keep it private. Again, it's only to be used by the clients, master bedroom. And
I think that's pretty much it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but it's a pretty straightforward.
John?
Yes.
It's, you say the deck is 5 feet in width?
No, it's 5 feet out from the building.
Out from the building.
And it's 16 feet wide.
16 feet wide.
Yeah.
So that's about 60 feet. 60 square feet, no, I'd see.
That's 50 square, something like that.
About 75 square feet.
Yeah.
A little over that, almost, just not under 80, itself. That's a small deck. And is the deck have, is it a fiberglass deck?
Yes, because, again, it's not protecting anything below. It's not covering the decks below. So pretty much, this, it's like you're taking...
It doesn't affect our coverage system. So we're good. Do you have anything further you wish to add?
Other than the fact that, again, it's under construction. We have all the approvals. This is the one piece that we like to have, you know, given to our client to enjoy. Again, it's relatively private. He just wants to go out there and survey. And I think by having it jut out the 5 feet, he really can see 180 degrees of the beach, uptown, downtown, and be protected from behind by the basic mass of the house. So pretty much that's his only request, is that he wants to be able to enjoy that full view of the beach, not just the straightforward of the ocean itself.
Have board members any questions?
I have one, Mr. Chair.
Please.
John, would you say this is an aesthetic improvement to the building?
I believe so, because I think that it's almost a layer cake effect, where you start with the first living floor, which you can see as it juts out. We took advantage of that going out to the bulkhead. Mm-hmm. And then the second floor respects the setbacks, and that's why we pulled in the living area a little bit to create a larger second floor. And then the third floor, again, that sort of layer effect as it builds up toward the top, I thought that worked aesthetically with the design of the building.
Okay, I agree. I like the step back feature of it. I think that really enhances that beachfront facade of the structure.
And we have this whole bracket effect that looks like when it cantilevers out, that mm-hmm. it's not just a cantilever, but it has a nice decorative yeah. Bracketing for the support.
Now, on Derby Avenue, in that same vein, you're also stepping, are you stepping the building in and out and putting, there's like roof, there's profile lines for the roof, for the porches and so on?
Yeah, everything, the idea was that to really front load the living area, the bedroom areas on the boardwalk side. And then as you go toward the rear, everything kind of steps down toward the back. So, you know, you have a visual effect where you're going to be spending your time in the house.
Right.
You want to be where the beach is. You want to be where the boardwalk is. And everything behind is bedrooms or mechanical space or bathrooms. So this sloping effect on the side view, I guess it's the idea that here's the back of the house. Everything kind of steps up toward the beach. Yeah. And that was the idea, was that we really want to have all the living space, everything that's visual, they can enjoy the beach and the boardwalk from that front side, and everything else, like I said, with the lower roof lines and toward the neighborhood. It doesn't, there's nothing in their face. Everything is further away as you go up toward the top. There's no big wall that faces the neighborhood.
Now, am I correct? There's you inside that garage, there's six parking places?
Yeah.
There are six.
Six. We have two in front.
Right.
Well,
there's two on the side. You turn into.
He can turn in. He's a big Tesla guy. He's putting a Tesla roof. He converted an old Volkswagen Beetle into an electric Beetle, and I'm sure he's going to be able to pull that all the way in and park it and keep it plugged in and stuff. So, you know, the garage is designed to accommodate his, I guess, auto passions.
You don't have any much parking in front of the building.
Pardon?
Do you have any? There's a fire zone in front of the building, to my understanding.
Okay, I'm not.
Yes. Okay. Is there any more discussion with the board? If I'd like to open up to the public, if I could at this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Seeing no requests or hearing no requests, because there's no one in the public, it's vacant. Therefore, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Obelenis, have you read Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes, I have.
Are you congruent with it?
Yeah, it's. I believe that, you know, again, it was pretty clear first of all. And I know that, I'm not a lawyer, but there's words like a detriment to the code. You know, I believe that this does not damage the ordinance in Ventnor, that it offers a nice solution for views on the beachfront. It's also, the way I see it, and again, when my client sees it consistent, he wants to be part of that family of homes that face the ocean, that have third floor decks, where they can go out there and enjoy them, enjoy the views and stuff, you know, panoramic views up and down the coast. And he wanted to be part of that family.
In your professional opinion, will this be an asset to the city of Ventnor or be a detriment to the city of Ventnor?
I believe it's an asset. You know, again, as an architect, as a designer, I think that it fills that vacant lot. I think it's an important building. The fact that it has a Tesla solar roof, I think we should be proud of this corner, that it offers what I think Ventnor has to offer as a nice location with a nice home.
And for the board, this is in the Gelman Tract.
Mm-hmm.
The Gelman Tract. And there's one more lot left. And it's an interior lot, and this is the corner lot on the outside. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Did you submit a landscape plan?
Well, I didn't. I used the Ponzio plan, which was actually a CAFRA plan. And I don't have a separate plan for that. I believe his shows, again, I'm not sure if his shows anything with landscaping issues or not.
Yeah, there was anything
on this.
Okay.
There was
some bushes,
but it's not. Right. Without a waiver, the application would be for zoning department.
Yeah, so
he complied with landscaping.
Right.
He's going to comply with landscaping
right.
As far as general zoning.
Okay.
Now, do we need to do any waivers or make a modification for street trees?
Landscape plan should be waived.
Well, has it been?
Well, he's going to comply with it.
He's going to comply.
He's going to
comply. He hasn't submitted it.
All right.
To our application.
And then we would waive the street trees like we do for all.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So do we need to waive the street trees now?
I would think so, yeah.
Yes.
Just to make it clean.
We've been asking for grass or dwarf trees. Is that still what we're doing?
Trees, but grass in the gutter strip?
Yes. We've been asking for some things like that. Is that still the philosophy that we're working with?
He's got grass all the way up to the bulkhead, and then he's got grass in the gutter strip.
Okay.
So I think he complies with that.
Right.
Zoning without street trees, even though we typically waive them, you know, Jimmy has that power, doesn't he?
He doesn't have the power.
I think it's when they request the variances, isn't that the
right.
of the trees?
Right.
Or is that in the standard?
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
So John, is that going to be an ADA ramp for access from the sidewalk to the boardwalk ramp?
No.
If it's not, I think we should require that.
Oh, the one that goes down right next to the driveway?
Yes.
Yeah, it's on Ponzio's plan.
Yeah.
It looks like there's an ADA accessible ramp right at the kind of parallel at the end of the boardwalk ramp.
Okay.
Just make sure when Mark designs it meets ADA standards because
yeah.
Someone will sue the city.
So I need to show that on my site? What was the
ask Mark, he's got
okay.
it on his plan.
Okay.
Condition of our approval
okay.
that he has to be compliant.
Okay.
If he submits his construction permit, so that will have to be
on. It is all paved.
So we'll keep him up to date with
yep.
This is all pavers.
Great.
This is pavers.
All right, construction permit.
Okay.
Okay. All right. At this time, Mr. Valendez, have you completed your presentation before the board?
I believe so. I think that we discussed the basic project, all the approvals, and it's got a CAFRA approval. It's under construction currently. The deck is a simple deck. It's, you know, again, it's out in the open. It's not, there's no potential to cover the deck below with a wall and a roof line, so everything is out in the open. There's no sort of like opportunity to close that off in the future. So it basically offers a pure deck on a third floor, again for the views.
Okay. Leo, if you can at this time, could you frame a motion in the affirmative for the, as all done for this application, please.
It's a C variance motion for one C variance to allow the third floor deck outside of the building envelope and away from street tree requirements, and as a condition, we'll note anything in Mr. McCollum's report and recommendations made on behalf of the applicant, and the commissioner's comment that the ramp on the side of the house will be ADA compliant.
Okay, may I have a motion in a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
All those in, state, let's have a roll call vote, state your reasons, please.
Commissioner Langraff?
I vote yes on the application. I agree with Mr. Obelenis that this is an aesthetic enhancement to the structure, almost looking at a third floor of a building on the ocean without a deck would kind of be criminal. It's not obtrusive, it doesn't take up the whole facade of the building, and again, I don't think this is a detriment to our land use plan or zoning ordinance, so I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. This is a de minimis deck, a deck that's being added on to the building at the utmost levels of the, of it, which is out of eyesight, out of basically the sight lines that are geared. It's de minimis in that it's about 75 feet or less approximately, and compared to the size of the building, it's very small. But it also is an aesthetic enhancement, and I think it advances the resort nature of our community, but it also is not in violation or does not diminish our master plan. So with that in mind, I think there's only, it's only positive criteria that are available for this deck, and I vote yes.
Ron Zadia?
I also vote yes. I find the variance to be de minimis. It's going to be aesthetically very pleasing, and I agree that if you need it, because without that deck there, it would be like a sore thumb. And I think it will present a counterpoint to the other structure on the block.
Mr. Ransom, I'm in favor of it. I don't see any negative reasons not to do it. It's actually an enhancement to the dwelling. Dan Smith III?
I also vote in favor. I think that it's the it's needed. It really balances the home for the eye, and I don't see anything negative.
Mike Reason?
I think without the deck, there would have been a lot of people on the board looking at the building saying, why didn't they put a deck there? definitely makes it look very much conforming to the other two decks, and I vote.
Tim Koo?
I also vote in favor. I don't see any detriment with it, and I think from a design standpoint, this makes sense.
Mr. Obelenis, somehow you have been approved. Don't know how it happened, but you did.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, if I can stay longer if you like and talk further.
Yeah. Your time is up.
We thank you for that opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And, thank you for appearing. And
contact my client. And now I guess you'll hear from the board as to the extra information.
Well, next meeting, which is a couple weeks. First Wednesday, second Wednesday, September, we'll adopt the resolution.
Okay.
It'll memorialize.
Okay. And so there's nothing on the architectural, mostly on Ponzio's side, that we need that document that
right.
shows that.
Right.
We can do that.
Plans are real licensed here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, they lived in on Harvard Avenue originally, and his wife wanted to go live on the shore. So they planned this big move for a lot of years, and they sold a house. I think they made a nice profit in a house on Harvard Avenue. Like everything, everybody's making big profits today on real estate, it seems, and their timing was good.
Right.
And I look forward to seeing this house being built and maybe be invited to the third, I don't know if I'll be invited to the third floor deck, you know, but at least the second floor deck. We'll have some good drinks.
Do you see the Tesla booths being retained in the future?
No. Unless the price goes down. I think this roof, I'm not sure, but we're looking at $200,000 and up just for the roof.
Wow. How many square feet is the roof?
I don't, you know, I shouldn't know. I have diagrams. but I don't have an exact number, but I work with the engineer because they call me, John, what are all the angles, you know? We need to know the angle of the sun. Where does the sun rise? Where does it set, you know, to angle whatever tiles face whatever part of the sun is so they can maximize all the exposure on whatever sides face, you know, even to...
Because it's solar, it's a tax credit, correct?
I believe so.
Yes, okay.
So, you know, again, if he builds enough, like anything else, if he builds enough of them, the price goes down. But right now, it's more like to show off than it is to garner energy for the house.
It's a great looking house.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it being finished.
Okay.
Okay.
Just as another FYI in there, we have the three large lots on Cambridge Avenue, or on Cambridge. And now there's only one lot left over at the Gilman Tract. So we're down to four of the large.
The Swains bought that lot. They put a volleyball court and a,
oh, they did.
And a miniature golf area. Yeah.
So that lot's been bought also. So we're down to three lots now of the 10,000 square foot variety.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So, I mean, as the city goes, with those size lots.
Okay.
All right. We, board members, we have other things to be done here, so we have to get moving on that. So, in any event, now, the next item of business, Roger, we like to just bring you up to speed regarding an ordinance change that we've been working on. You want to do that now, Roger?
Sure.
Okay.
I think I discussed it briefly before. The Ventnor has created a bulkhead variance that's specific to bulkheads and seawalls at the Ventnor City, which has its own chapter. Instead of being part of another chapter, it has its very own chapter and basically requires a new bulkhead for any substantial benefit or substantial improvement house, any house lift, any new house. Because it's difficult for homes, if they're being lifted, they're not required to put a bulkhead in there even, unless it's really, really bad. So now they do. If we have teeth in our ordinance that, you know, if your house has been substantially damaged in Ventnor West, or not Ventnor West, but Ventnor Heights, you're going to lift a house and still have a lousy bulkhead that does more harm than good. So now we have some teeth to get that ordinance in place to get a new bulkhead meeting the city standards. It also requires an as-built drawing to make sure that they comply with elevation. We hold a $2,000 escrow to make sure that they do submit the as-built plan. And it's a very good ordinance. It's going to probably rank or some people the wrong way. But in today's day and age, we need this ordinance in place to get compliance within Wetton and Ventnor Heights. Ventnor Heights, you know, it's an island upon itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if we can ring that whole area with brand new bulkheads at elevation 9, it just reduces wave action. It's not going to stop flooding, but it's going to significantly reduce wave action. It'll actually permit you to elevate some streets and properties. Now we have a definitive line around that area.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking about it in a way that you might be able to police it. If you said that if a bulkhead was more than X amount of years old, that they'd have to submit some type of inspection from an engineer that would show that it was sound.
Right.
I think Jimmy has that discretion.
Oh, yeah.
When they come in for their building permits to do more than minor renovation to their home, as soon as they kick that threshold that they have to be FEMA compliant, it's pretty much the same threshold.
Right.
So as soon as they trigger that FEMA compliance where they have to be flood compliant, that's when they have to replace their bulkhead. So they're either elevating their home or they're doing something to be FEMA compliant, which
right.
For residents you have to elevate.
And you have to replace that. Yep. Hit the new
height,
then you got to replace it.
And it's not easy to do, because when you lift the home, you have to move it.
Right.
And then drive the sheet piling in, mm-hmm. And then build the bulkhead.
But our thought process was, at that point in time,
That's the only time you can do it.
Otherwise, it'll never get done.
There is another way to do it.
Split the poles, cut them in half, put them in.
Yeah. Just, yeah, it's difficult. But now's the time to do it. It's on our agenda for Thursday night for introduction. It'll come back here for compliance with our master plan, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Part of our land use rights, right?
There is a minor element that's in there, but yes, if they want to appeal the decision from the city engineer and Jim Agnesino, they will come in front of this board.
Right.
Request the variance from them.
So it'll come back here for consistency with our master plan, probably at our September meeting, and then the city will adopt it on second reading in September, at our second meeting in September. So.
That's good.
Having these two meetings, both for the planning board and the city commission, allows us to move a lot faster than most towns. Most towns don't have two meetings a month for planning or their commissions. And it can take up to 2 to 3 months to get stuff, depending on when it falls. It helps us do stuff a little quicker.
And this is a very important ordinance.
Yeah.
Yes. This is critical at this point. Okay, are we complete on that discussion? Commissioner, you have anything further to add on that?
No. No.
Okay. The next thing is that we obviously talked about getting into the R7. So just tonight, briefly, I want to take a few minutes. Roman, if you have anything you want to kick in about. Is everybody familiar where the R7 is? Well, we have to do a review on that. So tonight, I'd like to just briefly, before you start writing everything up and setting the study up, is to discuss what you think are important thing takeaways that we should be finding out about that. So if at this point in time, anybody would like to make comments, please, Roman, please do.
In my observation, I think 7 is a catch-all. Sort of like it's got everything and anything, and I think this is an opportunity for the board to say, what do we want this planning district to really look like in the future? We know what it looks like now. Can we somehow mold it? My first reaction when I started doing some mapping is we really have 4 distinct areas of 7. And I think one of the first tasks I hope the board members would like to consider is, should we subdivide 7, because the conditions in North Beach are nothing like 7 in the Heights, or 7 on this side, above us, just west of here. So hopefully that may be the first step we take. And then after that, we can start looking at the lots, what's going on. How has it changed over the last couple of years? Do we need to continue that direction? Do we need to stop it? Do we need to encourage something else? But that's my view on 7.
I kind of like that idea, breaking it. And it doesn't have to remain R7, R7A, no. B, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we can
blend with the adjoining districts.
Correct.
Yeah. If it matches up.
Yes.
Or it can be subzones of that. Brigantine has, if you're familiar with Brigantine at all, it has the R2 district and it has the R2A.
Right.
And the A zone, there are the big lots. That's our St. Leonard's tract, if you will. 60-foot lot widths, 6,000 square feet of area. That's their A, they call it the A zone.
And when you look at Edgewater and the Heights, it's 7.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with what is on this area when you look at 7. So we really have to reconsider how we view these areas. So thank you.
I think that's and maybe if we can graphically show that, if you get me some of that information, or maybe get it to Roger, I'm thinking I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Roger, you got replaced.
I'm thinking I'm sitting in Brigantine right now.
Okay.
Or too many meetings in the month.
All right.
One thing to keep in mind, when you change the boundary lines, something we'll talk to Tim McGuire about, but you probably have to notice the requirement that it could be a little bit onerous and stuff, but you got to do it.
But
if it's part of a master plan reexamination, which I don't think we're anywhere near, we just recently did it. Then you can do it as part of that also. So if we were close to that, I would say that's when to do it. But if it needs to be done, we're that far away.
Well, if we keep it R7 and we just put a designations of A, B, C, or D in,
right? But then you change the zones. underneath that in each of those little areas?
Yeah.
It's enough of a change to have those.
Yeah, but there's other things in the seven, like one side of the street can be all single-family, the other side can be all duplexes. And then we have blocks that are mixed with duplex and the other. So I just want to just have everybody in frame of mind is that we have to determine, well, what's, do we make a whole block duplex? Do we leave it half in a percentage? And then two is another aspect of it is to, we'll look at the lot inventory. It's actually, we want to find out how many 30-foot lots, 35s, 37s, see what we actually have. And that'll determine, again, what perhaps the best use of the land or how it can be zoned so that people can come in and rejuvenate those properties. So that lot inventory becomes very, 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 very important, as is the type of housing. I mean, if we're, instead of flats, we've discussed in the past at the board about using or zero lot line type housing with a vertical party wall or a townhouse. So it's a fee simple ownership. We want to look at that also to determine if that's possible, where it's possible. So that is the case. Now, Roman, are you going to need additional? Does anybody else have comments, by the way, before I move on to something? Any other comments? Well, you're welcome to speak, please.
I would say, as the case we had last week in the R4 zone, all those lots resemble the R7 zone to us. So I think that ought to be looked at.
So four and five almost has to be looked at with seven. When you get right down to, or the adjoining areas, or the conflicting areas, particularly back behind the firehouse.
Did we set up a subcommittee for this?
No, we haven't yet.
That's what I would suggest. Well, and then possibly in, it's given a little bit of time, maybe October, we have one of our month meetings
right. Just
set aside as a workshop for that committee to come in and present to the rest of us, and then have that set up that way.
Yeah.
Just so that way we can get some of the grunt work done, and then have a presentation by that committee to the rest of the board members, and then move on from there.
I think we have to do at least three public meetings. We'll have some of our meetings going on, and we'll have to do a public hearing at least one.
Oh yeah, definitely. More. That's down
right.
the road.
Down the road. Now, right. Roman, would you head up a subcommittee?
You want me to head up?
Yes, I would like, because you've done a lot of work on it already. And then now, here's the next part, is other members of the board. Roman needs two additional people to help him. And
I would rather stay off of it, only because I want other board members' input.
Yeah, I think
you hear enough from me.
And you're busy.
Right, right.
Yeah, and you're busy besides that.
Well, you as a commissioner would be commenting on it as a commissioner.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
When it gets to that point. But
I would
rather someone else take a look at it, and I'm certainly happy to give input.
Could we have two volunteers to work with Roman?
Sure, I'll volunteer.
Tim?
I'd like to volunteer.
Mike's going to volunteer with you. So it's, yeah, that's Tim and Mike are now in. So thank you both for volunteering very much. And so you guys have your, before you leave tonight, make sure you have your phone numbers so you can communicate with that. And then we want to get prepared for an October meeting. And then meanwhile, I will be in contact, and I think Lance, I'd like you to be checking with every so often.
Do you guys want to bounce stuff off of us?
Yeah. And then even Leo and Roger will be available also.
Okay.
So it's not like we're going to do this in a vacuum. We just want to get it done. And thank you for that good suggestion, by the way.
I just think it gets a lot of the work done, and then the rest of us can chime in.
Right.
As we get down the road.
And we don't have a lot of spare time in here. So with that, one other thing, the question is sometimes it just pays to listen. So does anybody from the board have any comments they wish to make to maybe improve the function or help us along in our deliberations? You're welcome to please.
Well, I've got two thoughts. One, thank you, committee members, and what I'd like to do first is do a tour of the vendor and just go through those neighborhoods on foot. Just get a feel before we start talking about it, because I think you have to see what's there. And the other idea is, I like what Roger said, if we just took, as a side issue, I'm curious as a planner, is having Ventnor as a blank slate, no zoning lines, and then just draw areas that are similar, you know, and create a boundary around similar areas, similar setbacks and conditions, and see how it matches up with what we have zoned.
So we can,
but concentrate on 7 because it's the biggest.
We can request the county GIS to do that for us.
Okay, I'll have to call it John. Is John still?
John.
Peterson.
Peterson is still the
right.
Okay, I'll
chair.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Right.
But Matt Duffy will be the guy that will help us probably.
Matt Duffy is another
Paul
name.
Paul Peterson to ask.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
If you have any brief letter.
All right. Any other comments?
I have one.
Please.
So when we first came in office and I got on the board, there was a subdivision that was previously approved and it had come back to the board for to move a lot. They wanted to move this lot line 1 foot. And the application was denied. The variance was denied. In my opinion, and this house, this subdivision was on Cambridge and Marsden. They now just tore down that house. Had this board approved, and a lot of different members, had we approved that 1 foot variance, the house would have been saved. And this was an old brick home. You know it if you walk Cambridge Avenue, had the brick wall around it. They tore down the garage last week, and I'm like, oh great, they're saving the house. I went down there today. They're tearing down the house. So it's sometimes for, and trust me, it was a lot of pressure from the St. Leonard's Track group because they were all here and, you know, fighting it. And God bless them. They're passionate about their portion of the town. And you know, I applaud them for that. And I said that at their 100-year anniversary ceremony we had for them. But sometimes we as a board have to look beyond some of these small variances and really look at the potential of saving a house. There's nothing wrong with that house. But now that the lot line is split in the garage in half, and it was too close to the other house, they tore it down to make 2 houses, which they were going to have anyway. But you would have had that home there and then a corner lot. So it's just sometimes you got to look at things a little differently. You know, most of the homes in Margate, a lot of the older homes, I shouldn't say most, but as projects come in there, they're tearing them down. They don't care. We're trying to preserve some of these older homes. And one of the reasons we amended our FEMA ordinance to allow people to renovate up to 50%, which you're allowed to do, but prior to what we changed it, you had to do that over 10 years. Now you can do it every year. And that has, in what I've talked to Jimmy Agostino about it, Dino about it, and even Commissioner Creevo and Beth, we've seen it save homes because people that now renovate their homes instead of tearing it down. And we see a lot of that in the beach block and the between Atlantic and Ventnor Avenue, saving these homes instead of demoing them. I like our architecture. It's one of the reasons I love living in this town, to see the old stuff mixed with the new. But that hurt when I saw that house come down today. It really did.
When was that, Commissioner?
When was it?
Where?
Third house.
In Cambridge. Yeah,
third house off Atlantic Avenue.
Right in the corner.
Yeah.
Right.
They saw the equipment there for a couple of days. So.
Yeah.
I knew they were tearing a garage down.
They tore it down.
Right.
Because I was there today.
Right.
I went up there today.
Church is coming down now, too.
I saw that. Yeah, I went by that.
Which church?
They all choose around.
Methodist.
The Methodist is coming down.
I went by today. I told Mike, big home along. It looks like they're just taking the views.
Oh, that's a shame. I have pews in my house from my grandmother's church in South Philadelphia. First Presbyterian in Philly. When they replaced them all, they sold them as a fundraiser. And our family bought bunches of them. Like one's bigger than that. The one was 25 feet long. Cut it in half to get in the house. But, you know, they were 100 years old then. But, yeah, It's a shame. It's a shame.
Okay.
Trying to keep the old architecture, that's all.
Well, Lance, I agree with you. One of the first decisions that the board made when I joined 2 years back was a property on Ventnor, and I think it's Oxford, where there was two giant elephants.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to me, that was such a important focus in that area, and I just said, when they said, we want to subdivide, they put up three nice buildings, you know, and they're nice, but that loss...
That was a problematic property.
...landscape property with those elephants. To me, that was something like Lucy downstream.
Yeah, there's history there.
Yeah.
We'll have a conversation.
We have a lot of... We have a lot of grandiose properties that some have basically have some decent looking outside. The inside is a disaster. And even in the beach block, I mean, you'd be surprised some of the properties on the beach block and the condition inside them, how bad it is. You know.
Well, that one at the tour now is really bad inside.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But it could have been renovated. I mean, just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the rooms were massive.
Yeah. No, it was in it for a long time.
10-foot ceiling was empty.
They're renovating Cornwall and Ventnor.
Yeah.
See that? That's an impressive.
It's astounding, because I was
in that house. That always surprised me, because that house is in really rough shape.
I've seen cats more than people in that house.
Right. Right. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Is there any other topics that any members want to bring up this evening? If not, may I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. You are...
We're in the